If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 299. It's August 17th, 2021. Bunch of weirdos. Welcome back to the Boop Show. This is the Boop Show. My name is Scott. That's Brian Dunaway over there. Hello, Brian.
So we're going with the Lady Gaga philosophy of how to treat your audience. You monsters. You bunch of psychos. Goobers.
You bunch of weird psychos. Mother scratchers. No, they're great. We love seeing them. Sorry about the different day, though, everybody. I had a thing I totally forgot about yesterday. I had to talk to the city of South Jordan in a meeting and discuss my ongoing business license here in the city. And it turned out to be a totally easy thing and no big deal, but I was all stressed about it. And I had forgotten about it.
Yeah, who wouldn't be? I mean, who wants the government coming in and asking you questions about your business?
That's what I'm saying. So I was like, well, what do you need? She goes, oh, no, it's all good. We've just changed these three procedures. We want to make sure you're aware of it and your renewal's the same and it's the same time of year and you're all good. Just want to make sure you knew. And I'm like,
no. We just want to totally freak you out.
This meeting could have been an email, is what I said.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you should
have. Well, it was a phone call, but not quite the same. Anyway, it's fine. Right. I played some video games after that, so I felt pretty good about the whole day. It's fun being a dwarf again. Let me tell you what I did. You know that Deep Rock Galactic business, that game?
How could I not? I mean, it is like one of the core games that you just play.
Yeah, I love that game. Love it. Always loved it. Took a big time off of it. I'm a huge fan of Deep Rock
Galactic. Is that thing still early access or is it totally out in the wild?
Yeah. They just celebrated their year since 1.0. So they've been out for a bit.
Okay.
And, it is, they've added a ton though since that day. Like I couldn't believe how much new stuff, new modes, new additions to current, objective modes and stuff. They just added a bunch of shine and polish. It's great. That game is freaking great. So I played a ton of that. And was a dwarf like all day yesterday, just being a dwarf. And not all day, a big chunk of the late afternoon. Not all day. And it's great.
I'm trying to remember. I've played it several times, and I need to. This is what happens every time.
Yeah, what's that?
Scott gets on the show, tells me how much fun he's having being a dwarf. Yeah. And then I get excited, and then I download it, and I install it, and I get ready to play it, and I realize Scott's quit by that point.
No, let's play.
I'm just some dwarf by myself again.
You just took too long. You got to get in. I'm ready. Let's play now. I can play now.
Right. So I'm trying to remember, do I get to pick my own dwarf, or do I have to, like,
be whoever you want. They're classes, so you can be an engineer, you can be... gunner.
There's classes, but they're all okay. There's classes, but not races, right?
Well, no, they're just
you only
dwarves.
Can pick dwarf.
Yeah. Dwarf is all you get, and they're different. The different classes look a little different, but you get to skin them up as any way, which way you want. You can make them have blonde hair, white hair, brown hair, thicker mustache, thin mustache, a hat, no hat, whatever. You can go nuts with that stuff. Think of it as like, I don't know what to compare it to. That game stands on its own.
I like it. Why? I'm curious though. Why has there not been like are they looking at a Deep Rock dwarf or Deep Rock elf? That's what I was looking for. Like an elf or something. Or are they going to like just stay with the dwarves?
Oh, it's all dwarves all the time. No, this is So imagine. Okay,
no space elves.
No, imagine like you know, you're in your fantasy world and dwarves are the hardworking mountain types who are like building stuff and. You know, smelting metals and all this stuff, all those stereotypes about dwarves in a fantasy setting. Imagine that they continued to evolve and grow as a civilization and as a race. And one day, here we are now in space and they're still drilling for rocks and they're just doing it with a ton of technology now. But they're still just kind of like, oh, come on, we go to big rocks, big rock and stone. Like they're just still kind of a-holes. And they drink a lot. There's like a beer bar in the home base, so you can go screw around with these different beers and and they have different effects and stuff. The game's just a great game, dude. Just a great game. And that developer, I don't know what they're going to do next. I'll follow them to the grave. They have like stuck with that thing so hard. They were like amazing with feedback. They've never had anything but overwhelming positive reviews. They've never dipped below that. Like, it's just about as perfect as a game like that can be. And yes, you can play it solo. You can play it with friends. You can play with two of you, three of you, four of you. All four, great. One of you, fine. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. And I don't think it's too hard to play on your own. In fact, I like the break of doing it solo once in a while, because it's kind of more like a puzzle game when you do that. You got the little robot digger friend, and he helps go through walls and stuff that you can't get through because he's a digger. And then he'll go up and get high like minerals that you can't reach. You still have all your traversal abilities that you would have in multiplayer anyway. So you can kind of just make that combination work. And it's kind of a fun, I don't know, kind of almost a Metroid approach when you're all alone in space. And I do that all the time. I also get in with randos. There's just a server browser. Beep, go into one of those. Fight with those dudes. Get out with the money. Go back. Do it again. Get in with your friends if you want. Come, leave, go, whatever. That game's just like, hey, you want to play a really fun game? Then come play it however you want to play it. And I like it.
So, okay. So are they giant space dwarfs? And I just don't know the difference because there's only one race. You know, kind of like Peter Dinklage in the Avengers movie.
No,
giant dwarfs like out there.
No
crafting,
giants, you know, no giants. Unless, no okay. I mean, the truth is, I guess I haven't seen humans or orcs or anything else.
No, but banana
I don't actually
for scale,
know.
Right.
Yeah,
you
maybe
don't
I don't know. Maybe we are tiny and I just didn't know it. And those spiders are actually small, but since we're so small, they seem huge. I don't know. That's a really good question. And dude,
I'm downloading it right now.
There's some crazy stuff in that game. Like, you'll go into a room. I'll never forget this. It was me and Bo and John, and we were in this room, and we saw a giant spider show up we'd never seen before. And it was like boss level, going to take forever to kill it. This thing, we chip away, chip at it, chip away, chip, chip, chip. Finally get it down to nothing. And it explodes. And I think killed two of us. Had to, in that explosion, if you were in the radius, you were going to die. One of us lived and went and rescued the other two. But when it died, it exploded into a giant crater of gold. And gold in the game is very... like really valuable. Yeah. You want the gold.
Well, of course.
And so even if it's not part of the objective,
every game.
You want the gold. Yeah. So this giant crater, I don't know how far wide it was. It felt like, you know, football field wide or something, just a giant layer of gold. And we spent, I don't know, 20 minutes just chipping away at that gold so that we could get as much back as we could. And we just made bank on that. And that meant we afforded a ton of the upgrades back at the base and stuff. So you could do all your skin unlocks and everything. Anyway, it's on PC, it's on consoles, it's also on Game Pass. So if you don't already own it, you can just play it on Game Pass. And it's really rad.
Oh, so you did say it was on Game Pass. Okay, that's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally on Game Pass. I'm not playing it there, but but you can play with your PC friends over that. It's fine.
Well, you know what? I actually don't. I own it. I own it.
If you own it, just get it. Just do it there.
The point is
moot. Moot point.
Moot.
All right. What else? Hey, your wife, the good wife. Wait, what? Red meat, the good wife. What? What is this? You got a good meat playing the wife. What? I don't get it.
Right. So before we get going, my little talking point is Red Meat, the episode of The Good Wife. Oh. I was okay. So, you know, Ridley Scott and his brother did this thing called The Good Wife for several years. They got another series too. But anyway, The Good Wife is basically political lawyer drama thing, and we've been watching on Paramount Plus. Anyway, we was watching it, and I was kind of halfway watching. We're playing Halo, and I'm like, hello, I'm playing Halo in this show, and they were playing it with a 6-axis controller. And it was supposed to be this one came out in 2000. It was like, I had to stop. Yeah. I was like, let me look at this.
What is that?
I'm gonna rewind it for a minute.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to make sure because I'm like, do I see what I think I'm seeing? That is Halo. Yeah, they're showing it. Okay. Let's see the controller again. Okay. It looked like a.
Oh, weird. You keep cutting.
It like something else.
Why is he cutting out? You guys hear that? Chat room keeps hearing it too, right? It's not just me. Brian keeps cutting out. You guys hear that?
You were cutting out for me too.
Here, hold on. I'm gonna show you something. Check this out. Oh, okay, shoot. I started up. All right, so you're watching The Good Wife, and they are erroneously playing Halo with a 6-axis controller, which is a Sony product, and you would never have Halo on a Sony console. So what that tells me is the TV or the showrunner's being lazy again, and nobody asked any gamer friends how stuff works.
Exactly. So I was, was I okay in my outrage? I mean, okay, so my significant other was watching the show and she was enjoying the current conflict and I made her stop it so I could rewind so I could see how their portrayal of video so mad. And I was like, why am I so mad?
Yeah.
Why am I so mad?
Do you still, tell me now, do you still feel the anger? Do you still feel mad about it?
No, because I laughed at myself. And once I laughed at myself, I restarted my Skype.
What is it, 2005? Holy Lord. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the problem. The point is, so they were using a 6 access controller. Here's what you need to do. You need to write in to whoever the
from show from 2015.
Yeah, the 2015 show and say, look, don't come fooling me with your bullshit, okay?
Right.
That should have been.
And you're still breaking up for me, too, by the way. So I am. For you too,
no, that's wonderful. So right now you're hearing me just in pieces. That's how that's going?
Yeah, it's fine.
Back. All right. Technical issues aside, don't use fake controllers in movies and TV. That's the point.
Because you'll just make me angry.
Yeah, that's what
for
we're
no
saying.
Reason.
Yeah.
Are you trying to shorten my life?
Oh, there they are. You did have a clip in here. Look at this.
Yeah, I left a clip in there.
Oh, I'm annoyed. That's annoying to me. Not that you left it there, that they use this. Oh, I'll get dinged for this. Hold on.
Yeah. That's the reason why I was like, well, it's already on YouTube. So,
yeah. So they both they both have wireless PS4 controllers and they're about to play Halo. You guys, how hard would it have been to get a couple of freaking white 360 controllers? Really?
Right. I mean, I guess you could say possibly they didn't show a console. I guess they could be hooked up to a PC, I suppose. And I suppose they could have done the controllers that way, I suppose. But whatever.
I think they could have done a lot better than they did. These guys suck. All right. It's a small thing. It isn't that important. For some reason, you're slightly quiet for me. Can you turn up your Zoom just a little
bit? Sure, let's see. That's what I was just looking. Is it better?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you're
if that works, we'll just leave it like that.
Yeah, we'll leave it right there.
Until something else goofs up, and then we'll just play that game.
Tornadoes, baby. That's what we're dealing with.
Tornadoes.
So let's do this. We've got news of upcoming and newly released games, everybody, in the indie space. You know, that's what Boop does. That's what we do. We cover the indie games here.
Indie.
Boyfriend Dungeon, out on August 11th. It came out on Xbox Game Pass on day one, as well as Steam for $18 and on the Switch for $20. Plunder the dunge as you fend off dangerous monsters and take your weapons on romantic dates. Woo your weapons in this flirty, playful, and welcoming world filled with mastery and the procedurally generated dungeon.
I like how you wooed your weapon.
Yeah, I wooed my way right past it. A whole bunch of people I know are playing this, one including Patrick Beja, who is in love with this game.
Yes.
He thinks it's his favorite thing ever. And it is, it's pretty weird. It's basically a true dungeon hack and slash, but you also date your weapons, and it's a dating simulator. And your weapons are dudes.
I've played this as well. It's on the Xbox Game Pass, like you said, and it's included with that. And I played it for a good 30 minutes, and I really liked what I saw. I mean, it feels super creepy, like all these dating simulators feel like to me.
Mm.
And then you start dating the weapons. You meet these weapons. So instead of just picking a weapon up, you have to actually engage with, like, this dialogue boyfriend simulator stuff.
Yep.
You know, and they pop up, and they're all super sexy and everything.
Yeah, it's a really odd concept that works according
but
to
I love that they keep calling it the dunge.
Yeah,
because D-U-N-J. It just every time I saw first time I saw it, I was like, what is that supposed to mean? Is this some kind of code or something? Like, oh, it's for dungeon.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
I keep hearing it's a bit like I don't know, a little Hades in there, a little bit of Diablo, a little bit of, you know, my boyfriend Larry or one of those dating games I don't know very well. But it seems like a really interesting concept, and they seem to have been delivered on it. So
it's a lot of fun. Hades also on the Game Pass just released as well. So
same day, I think, right?
Speaking of woos,
give it a woo. Not like a Bender woo, because that meant he was dead.
No.
And it was air escaping.
Yeah, that would be bad. Woo.
That was an amazing episode. Also, Car Mechanics Simulator 2021 came out on August 11th. I've actually been looking forward to this. I can't decide whether I'm going to get it or not. because I really burned myself out on the first one. I played a lot.
Yeah, I was about to say 2018. They had the first one. They've been rolling for a while now. They've got a really big user base, and now they've updated it with new stuff.
Yep, new cars, new parts, new mechanics. And I don't the word mechanic is a funny word in that game mechanics as well as actual mechanics in the game. You'll be the mechanic, of course. And if you want to do that, then it's for you. I think what I got so hooked on Shipbreaker and that mech mechanic simulator that it made it, when you add a little fantasy to these chore core games, that that improves them for me. I'd rather play them when they're a little bit more like, I don't know, here's a giant mech, or, you know, here's a spaceship I'm tearing apart. Whereas this is like, yeah, your engine's rusted and you might need new spark plugs and what's wrong with your hatchback? And, you know, it's just cars, and that's nothing wrong with that. Some people are going to love this because it's like car porn, but I don't know if it's
I was I meant to write down the complaint. I saw negative reviews, of course, but one negative review is like they were complaining because there was too much mechanical stuff in it, and I'm like,
it's the whole point,
car mechanic simulator. I don't know anything about cars. Well,
it's not for you. I would say, I mean, I don't know, it goes really hard into detail. And for some people, that's what they want. For me, you could have pulled back just a little bit with Car Mechanic Simulator and I would have been happier. Just a little less intricate detail, every screw, every part, every fastener.
It is, and that's the danger of doing something that exists in the real world, like mech mechanic or something like that. Yeah. Those don't actually exist. So you can kind of cheat the edges, but these people, you know, obviously people who are really big into cars, there's a huge depth of knowledge and information out there for that. So, of course, they're going to overdo it.
You might call that depth of knowledge deep.
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 So deep, put you to sleep.
How about this one? Garden Story. Almost bought it. Decided to hold off. I wanted to read some reviews. So far, those reviews are good. So maybe I will get it. But on August 11th, this thing came out on everything. Nintendo Switch, Steam, Epic Game Store, PC, Mac, all that stuff.
This is a Switch for me, man.
Oh, the Switch only game. Yeah, it seems like a Switch game. Basically, it's another one of these. Hey, I want to turn my place into a farm and a house and a thing. But there's a lot of combat in this. A little more Zelda-ish in terms of combat and dungeons and stuff. But anyway, you have to unify a broken community as the newly appointed Guardian of the Grove. Transverse a vibrant island to combat invasive rot. Inspire its inhabitants and rebuild your home. You won't do this alone because you'll have fruity friends awaiting you, it says. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. I'm just, you know.
I know, but when is it ever a compliment to say fruity friends?
I don't know. It's an odd thing.
There's one take of fruity friends, and that's probably, you know, that's inappropriate. But then there's the other kind. It's just like, my friends are kind of loopy. They're kind of a little bit out there.
Yeah. But in this case, they're actual fruit. So that's what they're saying.
Here. They're real fruit.
Yeah, real fruit, which I think is the main takeaway. Releasing this week on the 19th on Xbox and PC, we have 12 Minutes.
Been looking forward to this ever since I saw it.
Yeah, this is the one here.
This has got Daisy Ridley, William Dafoe, James McAvoy.
This was talked about many E3s ago. It's like, finally, it's here. And it's this top-down camera thing. And you're walking around this house, talking, doing stuff. There's a party going on in this scene. This guy's getting arrested for I don't know what reason. Anyway, they call it a real-time top-down interactive thriller with an accessible click-and-drag interface featuring James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe. What should be a romantic evening with your wife turns into a nightmare when the police detective breaks into your home, accuses your wife of murder, and beats you to death. Yeah.
Oops.
Only to find yourself immediately returned to the exact moment you open the front door, stuck in a 12-minute time loop. So you're kind of Groundhog Day in it here.
Yeah.
12 Minutes blends the dreamlike tension of The Shining with the claustrophobia of Rear Window and the fragmented structure of Memento. And it seems pretty cool.
I am interested. Short game, probably maybe 12 minutes. I don't know.
I desire it. What's the price on this booger?
It's probably going to be $20 if I remember correctly.
Okay. Is that right? Probably. No game pass?
I'm guessing it's going to be something because it's going to be a pretty short game. $22.49. You can pre-purchase it now on Steam. It's usually going to be $25. I'm sure it's going to be longer than 12 minutes, but still a pretty short game. It's,
comes out in 2 days. right? Yeah,
yeah. 2 days. Do it.
You may know Annapurna Interactive, the folks. Annapurna Interactive. Annapurna. They did that Edith Finch thing. What Remains of Edith Finch? Yes. People love that. I know some people think it's the greatest thing ever made. I never did either. But this is their next big thing. So if you want to get in on that,
Outer Wilds.
Yeah.
You played the Journey?
Journey? I played Journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the band, though.
No.
Yeah. Don't stop.
Stop believing.
something in your feeling.
I don't know.
Finally, Recompile, August 19th, also a couple days for Windows, PS5, Xbox Series S and X. This is from
sexy.
The publisher Dear Villagers and Phi Games.
Yeah, Phi Games.
Atmospheric Metroidvania hacking adventure lets you take control of a semi-sapient, I think it means sentient, program struggling against deletion in the sprawling 3D world of the mainframe. Recompile features intense combat, tight 3D platforming, superpowered abilities, and environmental logic-based hacking mechanics. That sounds like fun.
Semi-sapient species is an alien species. And
sapient?
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know as well as I thought too. But yeah, this game looks gorgeous. Did you see the video of this game?
It looks good.
It looks smooth.
I mean, they're going for kind of a Tron deal here because you're in the circuitry. You're in the hacker world, and I'm always down for things that are like Tron.
Yes.
I wish
Tron me up.
More actual Tron in my life. Do you ever see the animated Tron thing they did for a hot second?
I did.
That was great. What was that called?
I love all that.
Tron Rubber Butts. Tron Run for Your Life.
Yeah, I always want to say Tron Legacy because that was the movie, but I was Tron.
Tron Uprising. Uprising.
Tron Uprising.
Yeah, that was a cool thing. That's on Disney Plus, and it's freaking rad.
Mm.
This looks like a cool game, I have to say.
I'm going to check it out. It's on my list. It comes out this week. What, the 16th? What is that, tomorrow? What is the day? No, that was yesterday. No, the 19th.
That's cool. This looks like my jam. I might be into this. Ooh, you can shoot? Oh my gosh, there's a third-person shooter in this digital space?
Yeah, insane. Look how glitchy you are. I love it.
Yeah,
love how it looks.
If you wanted more of a Tron thing, it looks like this is it. All right, that's Recompile, coming out on everything. Not Game Pass, though, unfortunately.
It'll be on the Xbox, but not on Game Pass.
Yeah. So those
buy it the old-fashioned way.
Are just a few of the games coming. And speaking of games, you guys may not know this. Some of you may not. I don't know. Some of you may. But Boop is just one-third of the Frog Pants trilogy of video game shows. Think of it as a big video game pie, and there's three big slices in there. One is the Boop Show. Mm. We cover indies and all that cool stuff. Core, where we take a wider view of the industry. We do console coverage, PC, all of it, everything. It's all in there. And then The Instance, which is now more of a big focus on big gaming topics around the industry, a little less on, hey, we're only cover World of Warcraft. This is a recent change. For example, last week we did a huge deep dive into Elder Scrolls Online, a game I really like, and kind of laid out some reasons why people might want to play it, reasons they may not, and who knows what our next topic will be. But that's where we're going over there. In other words, all the gaming shit you can handle. So go check out this URL, frogpantsplays.com. It'll take you straight to these three shows. You can sub to the ones you're not sub to. It's all for free, and you'll get all sorts of gaming content every week. All right? So go check it out.
I'm going there now. Frogpantsplays.com.
Go there. I'm going to do more with that URL soon, but for now, that's
what I was about to say. Look at that. Scott bought himself another URL.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you're over on your registrar and you're like, you know, that's a .com I could buy. Actually, I haven't looked at this in a while. Plays.com.
It worked. I went and looked.
Does it take you to those three shows?
It redirected like it was supposed to. I love it.
Yeah, I got to change the description on the Blizzard one because that ain't true anymore. But anyway, that's where you'll get those shows. Go check them out. Now this. Games we played this week individually. These are the games, the indie games that we would like to recommend to you this week. And I'll start. Brian, let me ask you, I'll start by asking you a question. Do you like Grand Theft Auto at all? Are you a fan
now,
of
Grand Are you talking
Theft
about
Auto?
Grand Theft Auto, the original top down, or are you talking about the series?
I will
of games
say
it is
any
Grand Theft Auto.
Any Grand Theft Auto, old or new, doesn't matter. Are you a fan?
I've had love for different versions over the years. Yes. Okay.
Fair enough. Let me tell you about this, because this is not Grand Theft Auto, but it owes a huge portion.
Has nothing to do.
Well, it has a lot to do with it. You'll see why here in a second. But the game is called Rustler, and it's on PC. They're about to hit 1.0. They're still technically in early access, but it's like a matter of days before it's full release. I've been dinking around with it for, I guess since February, because that's when it first came out in early access. So back on February 18th of this year, it came out. They're about to hit 1.0. In fact, on the beta, they have a beta, what do you call it? Beta tree, branch, whatever.
Oh, beta branch, that's good.
Players can play that now. They can go and see what 1.0 is all about. But anyway, imagine the old top-down GTA 1 and 2 style, okay? But, you know, 3D graphics and stuff, but it's top-down. And then imagine it's being set in, like, the Middle Ages, okay? So GTA in the Middle Ages. And now you may say to yourself,
There's a guy on the windmill.
Yeah, there's a dude on the windmill. Right. Exactly. And you might say to yourself, well, Scott, that doesn't sound like GTA. How is this like GTA? Well, it isn't just that it's top down. Look at the chalk outline of the horse over there. Did you see that?
I see it. Okay. It's just some dead people, and yep, there's a dead horse chickens, and blood.
There's a guy on fire running.
Is he on fire? He's got stink lines. He looks like stinky.
Yeah.
And then that guy's on fire.
Yeah, the other guy's on fire. And then the guy, you didn't see him, but there's a guy who was just rapping on a microphone. There's also graffiti that's like burned into the tops of buildings and stuff.
And when's it supposed to take place? During the late 1900s or, 1800s?
We're talking like Middle Ages, like way back.
Middle Ages.
1600, 1700, somewhere in that range. The game leans into this idea of saying, all right, yes, we're in the Middle Ages, but we are going to make all kinds of references to like a modern GTA. So there's going to be cussing, swearing, stupid jokes. The different characters you meet are all going to talk and they're going to say things like "Thine horse is late for the whatever," but they're also going to throw in "yo" or "bro" or whatever. They're going to mix their timelines up. And you're going to do stuff in that era that are very much more of a modern construct or more of a GTA construct. That includes getting in trouble with the cops. The cops themselves are on horseback, but they have lights and they have cop lights that go and they wear them on their heads and they chase you down and stuff. So they are very much tongue in cheek saying, hey, what if we take all these tropes and we stick it in an ancient time? That's what they're doing.
Well, they got a demo. I might have to grab that. They also got a prologue, apparently. And I just got to make sure this isn't like A Knight's Tale, right? That movie where they like have all this modern rock music.
Okay. No, because that was all about the music and everything else was like a serious take on medieval, whatever. Right. This is not that. This is from minute one, you're a thug working your way up the organized crime world of the Middle Ages. And there is a map that's just like a GTA map. Here, I'll hide my screen so chat can see it. There you go. There's like a little GTA map down in the corner. You get your health and your stamina up top. You get weapons.
I like that your weapon currently equipped is a fist.
Yeah, you're just punching. You're just punching.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, you'll get weapons like the crossbow is the worst, because when I first got it, I went, oh, sweet, a crossbow. And it is good. If you hit somebody, they're freaking dead. But to load it, you have to put it on the ground, stand on the wood, take a bolt, stick it in, like lock it in. It takes freaking forever, and you'll get yourself killed in the meantime. But there are perks to upgrade the speed at which you load your weapon. There's a whole bunch of these kind of like concepts that are jammed in here. And what ends up coming out the other side is a really fun GTA like that really is a definite throwback to the older ones. Like that is really what they're having fun with here. I'd say GTA 2 is the era I would look at. But you know, it's like, hey, go steal these pigs from that farmer and bring them back here. I'll pay you a ton of money, and you go do that. And then the cops chase you. You got to lose them, and you know, you can get in a fight and kill the cops if you want. But that's real bad, because then you'll up your wanted level and all that kind of, you know, all that GTA stuff.
Yeah, all the GTA stuff. Yeah. I'm down with this.
And you can steal horses like you steal cars. The horses have a couple of modes. One really fast. You got to be careful though. If you hit a tree, you'll fly off and get hurt. And you know, like where I'd like riding a motorcycle in GTA or something. It's full of little in jokes. That cow on that roof, for example, has graffiti on it. I don't know what it says. The bards all do beatboxing for some reason. There's a taxi horse. Look, the yellow square thing on that horse is a taxi horse. So it's a lot of shit like that. And it's very, very fun. I think this is going to be a weird little sleeper hit for a whole lot of people. And I know
Wrestler.
Some of you have heard me just talking now and are like, oh, if it's like those old GTA games, I'm in. I'm a big fan of open world games like this in general. And I think this is a fun throwback to a different time where we weren't so worried about, you know, everything being first or third person. This top down stuff's really fun to mess with. So, and it looks really nice. I will say this though, too, this is a game that when it launched and I installed it, there's a reason we didn't talk about it before. It was kind of bad. Like, janky controls, super, super janky video stuff going on, just problematic across the board. And I just thought, oh, that's not good. But I also knew it was early access. So I let it simmer for a while, a bunch of updates, got back in and went, oh, all right, this is way tighter. This is a lot better. Yeah. So if you want to play Grand Theft Horse, you can do it for as little as $24.99 on Steam. And become a medieval thug in a crazy open world action game full of pop culture references, complete insane quests, and kill heroes, steal horses, fight guards, rob peasants, listen to some bard music, and much more, all packed in old school gameplay style. Now, I was going to play you a little sound here. The thing, the intro, maybe more stuff down the line does too, but all I know for sure is the intro is all full motion video. So it's like,
I saw that.
Yeah,
it was confusing.
Weird.
Actually, I was like, oh, I must have got an ad is what I thought. Nope. And then I'm like, this is the game.
It's definitely the game. And it's great because it's like another kind of a throwback to older video game ideas. And they really riff on the whole GTA kind of thing. In that intro. I don't know if it shows up more later in the game, but anyway, here's how that starts. So enjoy
you
this.
Just mowed a guy down. Oh, yeah. Blood.
I do that as often as I can. This is the beginning with the video. It's not going to do much for audio for people at home, but... There's a beatboxer. And they're all over this game. Anyway,
that horse is great.
Yeah,
I love
good.
That horse sound.
Now, when you talk to people, this is one of my favorite things about the game. You know, like in look on the video. There's a cop chasing. You see the sirens. It's so dumb. I love it. The sounds they make when they talk to each other, kind of like Animal Crossing, where it's like
right.
Well, in this game, they grunt a lot. Here it is. Listen. That's you talking to NPCs, getting quests and stuff.
Is fed. The audio alone is worth getting Rustler for.
I mean, it's pretty strong.
Freaking tastic.
Banatron in the chat. Exactly. This is very much GTA 1 and 2. I would say 2 more than 1.
Yeah.
And if you miss those days, and also it looks nice. Like this is not an ugly top down game. It's super detailed and looks really good.
Yeah.
And like really I say, good. their latest build, which I have, is really tight and runs great. So go check it out. I'm going to give this thing. Oh, there's going to be some pros and some cons here. Fun missions. Never takes itself too seriously in a good way. Controls have gotten way better since early access started. It was real janky in the beginning. That stuff's way tighter now. I'm using a controller. You can use a mouse and keyboard if you want. The cons might be not everyone's kind of juvenile humor. They definitely lean into that stuff. A lot of fart jokes, a lot of stupid, you know, GTA-style stuff. And some of the animation's a little on the floaty side, but not too bad. And again, some of that stuff got tightened up. I'm going to give it 7.5 middle-aged fart jokes out of 10.
Oh. Love it.
Yeah. Almost a full 8. I don't know why I held back.
Almost a full 8.
Don't know why I held back on the 0.5, but I did.
Sometimes it feels that way because 8 feels like a B grade, right? Like, you're like, do I want to give it a
feels B more like an A minus.
Yeah, you're right. Like an A minus. That's probably a better comparison. I'll give it a B minus.
Yeah, I'll give it a B plus. Because the truth is, this is in some ways lifting a ton of ideas from other games.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that dings it a little bit, but it does it really well. So anyway, go check it out. I also like the save system. It doesn't feel punishing. Some GTA games, the older ones, were really bad about having to start the whole mission over. And this game just makes you kind of run little ways, so it's not too bad.
Rustlers.
Anyway, Rustler. Check it out.
I'm not plural. That's part two.
Yep.
Russell.
Russell. Russell. Rustle. Not Russell like Rustle. A guy named Russell. Russell the Rustler.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Brian, tell me about The Dark Wild and why should I?
I am about to do that, but I want to say from the chat room real quick. Metallica 155 says, I'm sorry. It might have still been Metallica. Yes, Metallica said Recompile was announced today for Game Pass. So we talked about that pre-show.
What?
That, Recompile is coming to Game Pass. I'm playing that this freaking week.
I'm in day one. That sounds great.
Me too. But what I played this week was a trio. It's how I say it. But for the people say a trio. The Dark Wild. Oh. It is. Yes, it is. It is isometric view, pixel art, but big, chunky pixel art. You know what? My circuitry is failing, and I'm pretty sure I'm about to be replaced in 3, 2, 1, dead again. Increment number by one. That happens a lot in this game because what you're doing is you're trying to balance between what is like Factorio. Yeah. Where you're doing your little factory manufacturing automated process, but you're doing it all in a world of kind of like Don't Starve, where you're limited to an area and limited by how much light source you have. So when the light source dims and goes out, you're in trouble. You're probably going to die. So that's how the whole game starts out. You're a nameless employee of a company that has placed you in this wilderness, this kind of like a giant circuit board, because everything in this wilderness is, you know, electronic parts, including all the beasts that inhabit this area. So you're trying to carve your little self out an automated process of collecting resources and crafting resources in a factory automated process. Along the way, you're going to be getting those animals and beasts that inhabit this wilderness, and you're going to get them to do your dirty work for you. They're part of the automation process.
Who are the eyeballs out there? Who's looking at you?
We don't know who the eyeballs are. We're just assuming that indicates that is a dangerous area, and if you do not carry yourself a flashlight like I am here, you're going to die. And even if you do carry a flashlight, sometimes you run across giant spiders with like circuitry and chips and stuff for heads and long wiry legs. Rawr! And right now I'm trying to explore because my bosses have told me I need to go explore and get certain parts because I got to rebuild. There's base building going on here. The base building is so that you can expand out the lighted areas.
Sorry, I just saw that spider you're talking about, and I do not like it.
I do not care for it.
No.
I do not care for it at all. And he comes along, and he'll get you really fast.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
So you're in the Dark Wild. A trio, the Dark Wild. That's what's going on. To make it even more complicated, I think the trailer sums it up pretty good. If you'll play the trailer here in a minute, it's that sound clip, the first sound clip.
Yeah, you want to hear that?
I'll set the stage. It kind of lets you know what you're in for because this game is not easy. Play that.
All right, here it is.
That trailer.
Here you go.
Growing a mushroom in Atrio is easy. All you need is fertilizer and water, and getting fertilizer is easy. All you need to do is use your trap to launch a mini deer into the poop pen with the 10 other mini deer you've captured, launch the poo into the factory, dump the fertilizer onto your mushroom, and then let it grow. But you don't want to pick them, because you're lazy. But don't worry, automating picking is easy. All you need to do is venture into the dark, find a tornadoed, and respawn, feed it a bomb because a captured tornado will pluck the mushrooms for you, and now you don't have to collect anything, and all you have left to do is to replant them. But you don't want to replant them because you're lazy. But don't worry, automating replanting is easy. All you need to do is venture into the dark and find the bees and and then put them to sleep, because when you rehome them, they will fly from box to box, grabbing spores and replanting the empty ones, and now your mushrooms will grow all on their own, and all you have left to do is stay alive. But don't worry, staying alive is easy. All you need to do is build a light bulb line so you can harvest ore in the dark, and then build an assembly line to move the ore back to base and combine them into your batteries, and build walls and gates to defend your base while at the same time finding a way to replace your dying battery. But don't worry, replacing your battery is easy.
All you need to do is sound like it would be really hard. Like, is it as complicated as they're making fun of it, as they make it sound?
It is, but in a fun way. So it's intentionally hard, but like I said, I never got frustrated to the point that I just rage quit. So
yeah.
The resources themselves aren't too hard to collect. The automation process isn't too terribly difficult and kind of simplified.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of all the interruptions of trying to get those things. So what happens is you have like random run throughs where you'll be trying to do some stuff, and all of a sudden a herd of circuitry beasts come running through, and you have to keep them from destroying parts of your base. You can do that with some bombs you've crafted.
Yeah.
And you also got like this constant refueling of the light system. And so as you go along, you automate more things and you can last longer. But the really hard part is this almost roguelike thing where you're constantly dying. So your character you're playing as is a like a number. He's just an employee number. And he's just made out of circuitry and scrap metal, and he dies once his circuitry starts to fail. You can extend your circuitry through upgrades. There's an upgrade tree research you can do. But most of the time, whatever you're carrying in your backpack, if you aren't close to somewhere nice, you might lose all your trash, and you'll have to go find it in the dark near a spider, which I've done many times.
Is his name number nine? No?
No, it okay. Increments every time. That's so every time a guy, I think it starts off randomly numbered, and then it increments by one every time a little elevator pops up out of the ground and a new employee comes out and your circuitry's fresh and you got a health bar and you kind of run through and you do your things, and then you start slowly that circuitry starts to fail and then you die. So it's just this whole idea of balance and a whole bunch of things together. So if you ever tried to balance making sure you have enough things in Don't Starve, and then also if you ever tried to balance that in Factorio, imagine putting those two things together, and it becomes quite the balancing act. But it's a lot of fun. I didn't like the art style, by the way.
It definitely does sound like Don't, like everything you've described sounds like an obscure kind of Don't Starve. Is it the same?
Right.
Like? Yeah.
Absolutely. But unlike Don't Starve, you can really, I mean, if you've got some, if once you get going along just a little bit, you can just totally chill out for a minute. You know, Don't Starve is like always on. It's like, oh my God, you got to keep moving.
Yeah.
You have to keep moving here lots of times, but not always. Sometimes you got like a little bit of planning time that you can do things. They give you a little bit of a break. This is still very early access. Before you run out and buy this game, let me tell you, it just released on the 10th of this month. Isto Inc. did it, developers. They're three-man team based in Canada. One of them is a two-time Olympic athlete.
What?
One of them is a former Microsoft program manager turned game designer. And Francois currently has a beard that is 2 feet ear tip. Whatever. Okay. So these guys don't take themselves too serious.
That's good.
But
that's good.
But it's early access. They're really active. I've seen them, you know, very active in the community that I've seen.
What do you
so
think
far.
Of the look of this thing? That's a weird look, man.
I didn't like the look at first. But then as this game kind of grew on me, I started really enjoying the game elements. And I even like the design. But like I said, at first look, I was like, oh, no. This is not good, but I think it's mostly for the sake of clarity when you're laying stuff out, because you have to when you make harvesters to collect like ore or something, like some blood ore so you can make some blood fuel. You have to put a unit over top of the ore so it can start collecting it. And then you have to set up this whole line so it can move it along and go to another area where it'll go into a facility so that you can combine certain resources and craft something, then you can send it the longest way.
Yeah.
You can send that product the longest way and then put it into a big old box. So it actually, I think it's, uh, I think once you take all that stuff in consideration, you're like, okay, these weren't bad design choices. It's kind of ugly when you first look at it, but you know, gonna say some pros about this game. Is interesting mix of survival and factory management, automation.
Yeah.
Unique look and gameplay, which you just talked about.
Yeah.
Challenging, but in a good way so far. Cons, no autosave yet. None.
Oh, they should add that.
That upset me. Yeah. That was, I didn't see it when I got in. When the game, when you start, it's like a big old thing. It says, no autosave yet. Better save. And I totally didn't realize that. Lost the game.
Oh,
early access. What's that?
Yes, that's a bummer when that happens.
Early access. So expect some bugs. And some of these bugs are game breaking that can potentially like just kill a whole session. So you're like, you're going along pretty good. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I've screwed every, it's just broke. Like some of the NPCs and things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. So the AI, sometimes it'll get hung up in areas and it doesn't know what to do. And so it's kind of funny, but then you go, I don't think this is how the game is supposed to work.
Yeah.
So they got work to do, but they seem to be pretty active. And with any early access game, I'm going to call this early access.
Yeah.
Because I think only the first chapter for story mode is available so far.
That's pretty
there's
early.
There's a free. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty early. I'm just going to give it 6.5 potential deaths out of 10 early accesses. It's kind of a low score for how much I like this game.
Yeah.
But being in such early access, I can't give it any more points until it's proven itself to me.
Sure.
You know?
And when it does, you can revisit and say,
yeah,
it's better now. Yeah.
It's $16 right now on Steam. And they're shooting for about a 20-hour game experience. And this is on Steam and Epic.
What are these toaster-looking dogs?
Toaster dogs come flying along, and you have to craft some bombs so you can stun them, and then you collect them, and then you can use them for defense, and as well as for crafting things. Wow. So they can shoot, like let's say you have a resource you need to move from one place to the other place, you can use those guys. They have like springy hammerheads.
Yeah, they're real weird looking. They look like toasters.
The whole thing, it reminds me of kind of the beast kind of remind me of like Saga, like the art from the comic series.
Yeah,
Saga. I love reminds Saga. Me of that.
Yeah,
yeah,
huge fan of that comic. Oh man,
love that comic.
It's very good. Although he hasn't done anything in a while, I don't think.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah,
but Tornado Toad, you got to watch out for him. He's Tornado Toad. He is belligerent. He will get, he's like a Kirby. Yeah. So he'll just like follow you around the screen going and sucking you up and killing your health.
Did you hear anything else about your own tornado there? We're good. You got,
So far, no more additional alerts. It sounds like our internet has kind of stabilized too, cause you haven't been breaking up for me lately.
That's good.
So
breaking up hard.
Yeah. So I'm assume the tornado has left the area.
Well done, tornado. You did the right thing. All right. So, again, it's Atrio, The Dark Wild, and before that, Rustler. Both games available now. One more finished than the other, but that's okay. Doesn't matter.
That's okay.
You do what you gotta do. Now this.
It's me, Mario!
Time to play Guess My Game. And that's where we play sound effect thing from a game, an older game, and then we have to try to guess each other's games that we brought to the table. And today, I'm going to start with the following hints. My game came from 1982... All right,
wow.
That's number one. It was in the arcade, and...
Is it Pong?
No, but it is Atari, made it. 82 was... We had, like, Pac-Man by then.
Oh, so okay. Pac-Man?
It's not Pac-Man. So let's see if you can figure it out based on the sounds that this arcade classic made. All right? I say arcade classic, but maybe it was only for me because I love this game, but hardly anyone else seems to know about it. But anyway, here it is. Quick other hint, vector graphics.
Okay. It's not like, I mean, it almost sounds like, of course, everything sounds like Lunar Lander.
Well, okay. So I'm glad you said Lunar Lander, not because that's the game, but because it uses a hover mechanic kind of like Lunar Lander does.
Right. It's not fast enough for Defender.
Nope. Any ideas? Trench Wildfire is definitely not the Vetrix.
I can see a game in my head.
Yeah.
And I think I know what this is, but I can't think of the name.
It may, like I say, it may have been just the game I loved and no one else knew about it.
Right. I feel like I can see this game.
Someone in the chat says Vetrix, but no, arcade, not the Vetrix. That's a machine.
Right.
So this is an arcade machine.
But this is Atari arcade, though,
yes,
right?
It is Atari. Yeah, yeah. It's in the arcade. It is not on home consoles. It was an arcade machine you put quarters in.
Right.
Not Asteroids.
I feel like I know this.
People say Asteroids, no. Centipede, no.
No, absolutely not.
Tempest,
it does
no.
kind of a little. It does like it has some of the Centipede sound effects to it, though.
Well, you know, back then they had limited.
You only had so many chips, right?
Yeah.
We have two chips.
So, do you give up?
I'm going to have to say it is Blasterama.
Oh, that's a great name for a game, but sadly that is incorrect. I'll give you one of these. The correct answer is Gravatar. Yeah, Gravatar was awesome. Really cool game. Let me give you the brief description of it. It's working title before they put it out. It's called Lunar Battle. It's a color vector graphics arcade game released by Atari in 1982, using the same rotate and thrust controls as Asteroids and Space Duel. The game was known for its high level of difficulty, and yes. it was hard. It was the first of over 20 games, including the 1983 Star Wars. Let's see, that Mike Halley, I guess you say it, designed for and produced for Atari. He was the guy that did all those. The main programmer was Rich Adam, and the cabinet art was designed by Brad Chabra. There were almost 6,000 cabinets produced, and there was an Atari 2600 version that was garbage.
I remember this game, and this is kind of like what I was seeing in my head, but I think I was just kind of seeing all these games in my head. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
I think you described it so well. Yeah. I already kind of knew what it was visually.
It is definitely, I mean, you can almost, if you imagine it and imagine the color, that's the other thing that made it kind of unique was the color. Is really really show there stands out. It's like, you know, Asteroids was monochrome. This used full color, and that made a big difference. It's hard, though. Really hard. And it uses some physics and... Oh, geez. You all right? You okay over there? What'd you drop? What happened?
I am. I was trying to get my Atari Art of Atari book out.
Oh, yeah. I have that here, too, somewhere.
Yeah, I was wondering if I was going to see if I could see the Gravatar.
Yeah, see if that's there, because it's they had a cool cabinet. Everything was cool about it. While you're looking,
my people, if you don't have this book, you should get this book. It's the Art of Atari.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. So it's really heavy though, and I had it on my table and I just dropped it. That's why I made all that noise for.
Did you break anything, or you're good?
No.
Okay.
Didn't break anything. That this makes book me happy. Is.
While you're looking that up, Bailey in the chat says, speaking of cabinets, did anybody pre-order that Simpsons Mini Arcade for the $600? No.
I want it, though.
I'm not paying that, though. It's too much.
You know, but I haven't bought one of those yet, so it might be the one I get.
Well, I could see that. I bought the $300 Joust one.
Yeah, if you already got one, I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I want to hack that thing anyway.
I want to hack it.
I want to hack
it. I want to hack and slash it.
I want to put
There's-
Pie
There's
there.
The Gremlins.
Oh, Gremlins. I remember that bad game.
Mm-hmm.
All those tie-in games were so bad back then. Oh, my gosh.
But there is that Gravatar. That must be the home version.
Yep, Gravatar home version. That's all they're going to show. They're not going to show arcade, I don't think. Yeah. No, but that's pretty cool. Look at that guy. Oh, no, that's for, what is that, Choplifter?
That's the other.
It's Choplifter.
Yeah.
That's good. That's pretty great. All right.
Choplifter.
Brian, I'm going to play your clip now. You ready?
Do it. Here play my clip.
Here comes your clip.
It is 1992.
Arcade, home, what is this?
This is a home video game.
All right.
For the home video game system.
The HMS? The home video? No. HVMS?
That's it. Nailed it.
Oh my gosh. This would have been...
Four.
us.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Okay,
so it is an NES. Published. Who's the publisher?
1992. Published by. Developed by Konami. Published by
Konami.
Konami. Konami.
Oh, I know that sound at the end.
Yes.
Oh, dude.
What if I told you it was based on the comic book series of the same name?
Oh, well, now I'm not sure.
Does that just make it worse?
It made it worse. comic book series of the same name?
Yes.
I don't know. I'll guess.
It is Bucky O'Hare.
Oh, Buck. What? Bucky O'Hare?
Yeah, Bucky O'Hare.
Whoops. Gave myself a ding. I don't even know what the hell that is. Bucky O'Hare.
Look it up. You'll remember it when you see it. I'm sure of it.
Bucky O'Hare. Is it a rabbit? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I have a vague.
Space rabbits.
Vague memory of this. Okay, chat here. You can see this shitty art. Hold on a minute. Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah, I don't have a really strong memory of this. How was this game? Was it good? Was it dumb?
I played it for 5 minutes, I think, so it must have not been that great. I remember playing it, but very briefly.
I've never heard of Bucky O'Hare, huh?
Yeah.
Was this space? Is he a space rabbit, or what's his deal?
Yeah, he's a space rabbit. He's a space rabbit, man.
Yeah?
I didn't really dig into the story. I just knew it looked cool, and it was a platformer, like a, and I was like, all right.
2D walk and punch kind of deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Bucky O'Hare. I'm looking at some video here. This looks... You know, like it might be a game. Oh, wow. Look at these scaling sprites. Oh, this looks terrible. Are you sure this was
fantastic?
Was this good,
1992. Or? What's that?
Was it good? Was it bad? Was it?
Oh, of course it was bad. It was terrible.
This is the arcade version, so I'm guessing this is a little higher.
It looks better. I'm going to say it looks better than I remember it looking.
Yeah, I think these graphics are running on arcade hardware, not a NES, but anyway. Oh, man, look at that. This is like them saying, hey, what if we wanted to make our own Star Fox but had other animal types in our thing? Because look at this duck.
What if we had a duck in space and a robot with one eye? What if we did that?
Yeah. Also, that rabbit's ears are backwards.
Because he's cool, bro. Is that because it's 1992. He's, cool? He's rad.
Is that why he's rad? Oh, it's 92. You're right. Everything was rad in 92. You're right. I'll give you that. All right. Good call. Good pick. I was never going to get this one. There's no way. All right. You did great, though. And now that means this. Wrong one. This. Okay. Hey, that music means it's time for us to read an email from a listener. Oh, we should mention next week I'm going to do Banners of Ruin and you're going to do Dreamscaper.
Yes.
Ooh. I don't know what Dreamscaper is. No idea what that is. Or do
I? Check it out. It looks good.
Maybe I do. Banners of Ruin is very cool, and we'll talk about those two games next week. All right, here, let's. These couple emails are just dying to get read, so I'm going to read one to you. This one's from Old Guy Ken.
Oh, hi, Old Guy Ken.
He sent this to boopshow@gmail.com, and here's what he said. Hey, Scott and Brian, have you ever played the original lawn mowing simulator called Hover Bover? Yeah, that's what it says. Warning, the graphics are bad. You steal the mower and cut grass as the neighbor and his gardener chase you. Your dog can help them help keep them at bay. I had this for the C64 back in 1988. Old Guy Ken.
Ah, yes.
Never heard of it. I'm going to try to find it.
I saw it early. I looked at the graphic and it seems like I remember this, but there's, oh my God, there were so many bad C64 games.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, some of it was pretty good too, but.
Yeah. Oh, no. There was, okay, look, there were a few really great games.
Yeah.
But then there were just a lot of bad games. They were just, you know, essentially what we would have called, vaporware or something.
Yeah.
Probably eventually. I mean, sure. It was just, you know.
Everybody had some bad idea for a game and they made it.
Yeah.
I get you.
You know, it was early on.
This guy's mowing lawns. I can totally see this. I didn't mention this yet because this isn't necessarily the show I would bring this sort of thing up on, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. I got really hooked on a mobile game that's called, hold on, I got to remember this because it's real dumb. It's called, and this is the entire title, Literally It's Just Mowing. That's the title. And this game is gross addicting, and it has amazing grass physics. And you really are just mowing lawns and unlocking toolboxes and getting cool skins for your lawnmower. That's kind of the progression of the thing. Oh, and finding hidden animals occasionally while you're out mowing lawns. Stupid fun mobile game. I don't know.
I played this as well. I think we both got recommended this. I don't know if it was on Twitter or I forget where it's somebody showed us.
I got a DM from someone. Let me see if I can give him credit because that'd be good.
Right. I want to give it to somebody too. Agreed. And I'm trying to remember. Was it Twitter, Discord? Where was it at? We got this recommendation.
For me, it was Twitter. Let's see. His name is Haunted Dreams on Twitter. Haunted Dreams. And he had already done 115 streets mode by the time he talked to me last, which was on Saturday. So that dude is really into it. I've probably done 60 lawns or something.
It was Kentacario.
Oh, different
in
dude.
The chat room. Yes, Twitter, he said.
Oh, is it the same one?
Says.
Same guy?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Hey, Kent, that's you? Awesome. Thank you for this addiction. I love it. I really love it. Fantastic. I have an 8-hour box to open right now. Let's see what's in it. I'm going to click this. All right, the box is opening. Oh, I got a rare steering wheel, Aqua Classic steering wheel that will go on my, look at this, my Moguai turn around. Look at that, showing off his hot new steering wheel. Oh, baby. And then when you go to actually mow, it looks like this. Like, it's so good, dude. Stupid, addicting, freaking thing.
I do too. But I wish they would have called it something other than literally is what's the name of it again?
Literally, it's just mowing, they call it.
That's the name of the full name is literally. The word literally is in the name of the game.
Yes. And it is on Android and iOS. So if any of this sounds super dumb, it's because it is in the very best way possible. It's great. Okay. So go check it out. Thank you for the other recommendation there, old guy Ken. If I ever get a chance to play Hover Bover, I sure will. Jeff Sire from Grafton, Ontario, Canada wrote in, says, Scott, I have been told the same as you, that a vomitorium was where the Romans went to puke so they could eat more. We talked about this on the show once.
We did, because it was like vomitorium was like a was game from, coming out.
What was the game? It was
something like vomitorium or something. Yeah, it had something like title, at least.
He says, this is incorrect. It's an architectural feature that allows large numbers of people to exit a building. Imagine a sports arena where the gates, and how the gates direct everyone to the large exits. It means to spew forth and is where our word vomit comes from. However, I don't believe there's any indications that the Romans were bulimic or more bulimic than we are, says Jeff. So it's got nothing to do with puking. I didn't know that. Learned something new every day. Thanks, Jeff. If you'd like to be like Jeff or old guy Ken, you certainly can be, because all you got to do is send us an email. That's boopshow@gmail.com, boopshow@gmail.com. What else? That's it. We are done, Brian. That's all we have. Frogpants.com/boop is the website, and all our stuff's there. boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. Once again, follow Brian on his Twitch channel at Brian Dunaway. When are you playing your next game on there for the show? When are you doing that?
I will be playing tomorrow night. I generally, if you check in just about any day at 6 p.m. Eastern time, there's a good chance I'll be playing something.
Yeah.
Except for Fridays. I don't usually stream on Fridays.
No. You're busy watching FilmSack or something.
I'm busy watching FilmSack, correct.
We all have our cross to bear. So there's that. Find me at Frog Pants. There's always something streaming there, so check that out. And, of course, Boop Show on Twitter. If you haven't already followed us, you really should. We also have a Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com, if you are interested in hanging out over there as well. That's going to do it for me and for Brian. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Wow, I mean, I think we've covered it all. But if there's a video game that you know out there that you want to recommend, do it, please. I every time somebody recommends something, there's been two great ones this week, Boyfriend Dungeon and this literally mowing game. I've played both of them.
Yep.
I've enjoyed it.
Yep, it's good stuff.
We listen.
Yeah, so we do listen. We love the stuff you guys send us, so send more of that stuff in. That'll do it for us. We'll be back next time with more. We'll see you then.
Hey.
Bye.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.